Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this beautiful day. We want to thank you for every good thing in life we have. We thank you that you know us, that you called us into your family. We thank you, even though we have done so many things not to deserve it, you love us unconditionally. You gave Jesus to die for our sins to fix that problem, and I just want to thank you for that. Lord, you have given us a great country where we have lots of freedoms, and we thank you for that as well. And we just pray, Lord, that today we would remember you well, we would cultivate a heart of thanksgiving and thankfulness and gratitude. So please transform our lives and our hearts. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. Help us to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you kind of got the hint, or if you've been here for a while, and I did want to mention, I don't know if Isaiah mentioned before, but if you're a visitor here today, right in front of you, there's a little welcome card or a guest card. If you fill that out and take it out to the welcome center, the little foyer out here, we'd appreciate that so we can, you know, be in contact with you and encourage you. Anyway, we're in a series on prayer called The Acts of Prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I first learned to pray, someone taught me the acts of prayer. You know, A for adoration, being, you know, worshipful, you know, adore God for who he is and the things that he's done. C for confession, you know, confess your sins to Christ, ask him to forgive you. Confession is agreeing with God and his word. And T, thanksgiving, which is our message today, expressing gratitude. And S for supplication. So acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Now, this is a simple way to remember how to pray. And so it's simple, but it's not simplistic. It's important that we develop this, because remember, we have God's promises to answer our prayer. If we will ask and seek and knock, we will receive. John said in 1 John, he says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Now, this verse inspires confidence in prayer. If it pleases God and if it's for his purpose, the answer is yes. And this is why we can be so confident in prayer. We can say confidently, prayer makes a difference, and which is why it's so important to develop this habit and this practice. Now, how do we know what pleases God? And how do we know what his will is? Well, how do we get those consistent answers? It's through a relationship with God, which is grown and strengthened by prayer. Alan Vandergrind, I don't know if you remember this or not, he said, prayer is the conversational part of the most important love relationship in our lives. Our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is how we know what pleases God. We're in his word and we're in prayer. This is how we know his will, because we have such a close relationship with him. Think about the people that you are closest to. Now, I'm not going to use, I'll just kind of use this example, even though I might fail myself. But if your wife says, just get me whatever, get my usual at Subway or get my usual at McDonald's, you're going to respond, well, you know, after 15 years, you don't know what my usual is. Well, you know your wife so well, you know your spouse so well, you probably know what they want. The same thing applies in your relationship with God. You spend so much time with him, you're so close, so intimate, that you know his will for your life. You know how he's going to respond. The same thing applies in all relationships. Okay, as today is a great day for celebrating, and we're being thankful for Memorial Day, I just wanted those who had served in our country, by the way, if you raise your hand if you've served in our country in the military, you know, thank you very much, you know, for serving. God bless you guys. We have a debt of gratitude for everyone who's put their life on the line for us. Well, we know that Jesus has done the same thing. He's put his life, gave his life for us, that we might have eternal life, that we might have a relationship with him. All right, I want to ask you a question. This is going to require some of you to go way, way back in your memory, okay? You ready? Do you remember when you were 5 or 6 or 7 or 8? You remember when you were a little toddler at home? Do you remember that? Okay, take yourself back there. Now, when you asked your mom something like, can I have a cookie? Or, Mom, can I have Alan spend the night? Or, Mom, can we go to Dairy Queen for ice cream? Now, how would she respond? What would your mom say if you asked her one of those questions? No. She would say, what's the magic word, right? What is the magic word?
Please.
And then if she said yes, you're going to run off, you know, to celebrate grinning ear to ear. And she'd say, wait a minute. What do you say? Thank you, Mom. Now, why did your parents do this? Or why do you do this if you're a parent? Why do you enforce this please and thank you and you're welcome and excuse me? Why do you enforce it? It's to shape the character of your children. It's to shape their character. It's to cultivate a polite and a thankful disposition in your kids. Now, I can't remember how well I was at this age, so I don't really know that I cultivated this when I was young. But children need to be trained to be thankful. Why? Because it does not come naturally, does it? If left untrained by our parents, we will grow into self-centered, demanding, and entitled teenagers. Some of you said, amen. And then adults. And as adults, especially as American adults, it's so easy to take everything we have for granted. Our freedom, our security, our prosperity, food, friendship, family, all these things that we have been blessed with, we take for granted. And as followers of Christ, we are guilty of the same thing. We often or habitually neglect to thank God for all the things that He has done for us. Now think about what happened in the Old Testament to the Israelites. God blessed the Israelites with land. He gave them victories over every enemy. He gave them freedom. He gave them kings and leaders. He gave them everything that their hearts could desire. And what happened when they neglected to be thankful for all that God did for them? They began to worship idols, and they turned away from God, and they forgot Him. And even as Christians, saved by faith because of God's grace by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are commanded and we are trained in Scripture to be thankful. Why? Because it's not going to come natural. You're not naturally going to express thanksgiving. You have to be told, just like a little child. You have to cultivate a heart of thanksgiving. Prayer does not come easily or naturally. It is an entirely spiritual activity, and our flesh rebels and makes all kinds of excuses to avoid it. This is why we're engaged in this sermon series, The Acts of Prayer, and why today Thanksgiving is such an important one. Okay, look at the back of your card, and there's a little quote about Thanksgiving. Remember, this card, okay, remember, I don't know if you remember this last time I preached on adoration. I gave you the adoration card. Remember I told you where to stick it? You guys remember that? Did anybody stick it on their mirror? Anybody stick it on their mirror? Come on, confess if you did. If you threw it in the garbage, you want to confess that too? You gutless people, cowards. Just kidding. Just teasing you. All right. Hey, on the back of that, listen, I gave you those cards to encourage you. I can print more. I can start mailing them to your address. I got your address. All right. I might just start doing that. I'm just going to start mailing them every week, all the cards, random. All right, forget it. Here we go. Back of the card. The card is on Thanksgiving. This is what it says. Thanksgiving focuses on what God has done. It is gratefully acknowledging the work that God is doing in your life, His love, salvation, protection, and provision. You have plenty of reasons to be thankful. Thank God for Jesus' death and resurrection, for the Holy Spirit indwelling you and being a guide, for answered prayers and His blessings. Now, on the back of your card, there are also some verses to encourage you to be thankful, to, you know, think through those verses and use them as well. But first, I'm going to look at those in a couple minutes. But first, I want to start this morning by reading a story to emphasize the importance of being thankful. It's in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. As Jesus continued toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Okay, so what did all 10 men have in common? Leprosy. They all had leprosy. Now, it's an unfamiliar disease to us today, but what effect, if you understand this, what effect did this leprosy have, this disease have on their lives? What impact did it have? They were outcasts. They were considered unclean, untouchable. Okay, they were no doubt separated from their families, lest their families would, you know, maybe their wife or their children would get this disease. And they were no doubt restricted in their work. And so what did they do for food? They would beg for food. This is how their lives were characterized. Now, what was unique about the one man who returned to Jesus? He was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. Now, if you guys remember, if you don't know your Bible history and you don't know this, a Samaritan would have been like a half Jew, half Gentile. Okay, over the course of 700, 800, I don't remember how many years it is. But the people that lived in Samaria had a form of Judaism. They worshiped God as they understood him, but they were not full-blood Jews, and so these people were bitter rivals. They hated each other. And yet, only a Samaritan came back to say thank you. Now, why didn't the Jews return? Perhaps they felt entitled. Perhaps they reasoned to themselves, "We are God's chosen people. We are Jews, we're not Samaritan dogs. I deserve to be healed." Now, we don't truly know why. If you think about this, we don't truly know why the 9 Jews did not return to praise God and to thank Jesus. But their lack of gratitude made an impression on Jesus. And it made an impression on the disciples, because the disciples remembered this story and they shared it with Luke. Now, I think it's safe to say that this story is meant to train us to be thankful. Jesus saying, say please and thank you. Because he knows in our hearts we have to cultivate a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. It's not going to come naturally. Even for Christians who have been saved by the blood of our Lord, taking God for granted, neglecting to have a grateful heart is not a new problem. King David said this in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. David writes a song of thanksgiving and praise to God as a result of the Ark of the Covenant being returned. He wrote this song. Here's what it says in verse 34. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Now, David's song is one of praise and thanksgiving. It calls the Israelites to remember who God is, what he has done, and to put their faith in him and and to never lose hope. His reminder that God is good and that His love endures forever is a rallying cry for the Israelites, and it's a rallying cry for us as well. Because of God's love, because He is good, because He endures forever, we can put our trust in Him. He has our best in mind, and He will treat us in a manner that is consistent with His character. Because God's love endures forever, we can have confidence to cry out to Him in our days of uncertainty. Like the day when you lost someone you really loved, a dear friend or a spouse or relative. The day that you lost your job. The day that you lost your health. He is there. His faithful love endures forever through all circumstances. No matter the circumstances, God is in control, and we offer Him thanksgiving for all that He has done, regardless of the circumstances. In this next passage in the back of your card, it's Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5. I don't know about you, but I have Psalms 100. It's five verses written on my daily prayer journal. So I read this psalm often, probably not daily, and I can't help when I get through this song to start singing. I'm going to do my best to avoid that today. Maybe. Anyway, here's what it says. Back your card, Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving, go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation." Now, don't you want to break out in song? Come on, let's go. I will... His gates... Enter His courts with praise. See, I didn't have to do it. You guys are doing it for me. I will say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. He has made me..." Okay, that's enough. Yay, you guys are awesome. Oh, I forgot the clapping. I never would have got that down because I have no timing or rhythm. Anyway, well, I have Psalms 100 on my daily prayer. And I break out in song often. Now, God does not judge me for my poor singing. He just loves me to worship Him, so. And usually I'm alone. I don't think anybody's ever overheard me. If they have, I'm sorry. But when was the last time, bit of a transition here, changed gears on you. When was the last time you prayed the Lord's Prayer and meant it? Not just recited the Lord, the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," okay, in the King James, etc. When's the last time you prayed that and really meant it? Not just recited it, but prayed it, really meant it. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And of course, we got many modern translations of the exact same prayer. When you pray, "Thy will be done," or "Your will be done," do you mean it? Do you mean it? Do you mean, "God, Your will be done today in my life, my thoughts and my desires, my actions, my words, Your will be done in every facet of my life"? If you said yes to this, then the question is what is God's will for you? What is God's will for your life daily? We know that it is God's will that you're saved, that you accept His Son Jesus. We know that it is God's will that you are holy. And you remember being holy is this work of being transformed. You're on this journey. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Being sanctified means I'm being made holy. We know from 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, it is the will of God that you are holy. We know that it is God's will that you follow His Son and that you're obedient to His word. And then in the book of First Thessalonians, near the end of Paul's letter, Paul reveals some additional things about God's will for your life. Look at these three verses. 1 Thessalonians, verse 5. And this is in the back of your card as well to remind you. It says this: "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So God's will for you is that you are joyful, that you never stop praying, that you are thankful in all circumstances. So when you pray, "Thy will be done," do you mean it? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Allow me to be joyful, to never stop praying, and to be thankful in all circumstances. Is prayer and thanksgiving in all circumstances a normal part of your daily life? Now, somehow we must make the decision to make time alone with God a priority, or else you will never experience the joy that God promised. You will never experience the rich and abundant life that He wants for you. You will forget God. You will neglect His blessings, and you will take everything He's given you for granted. That's why we need to cultivate a grateful heart. And that's why we need to include the T in our daily prayer, thanksgiving, in order that we might cultivate that heart. We need to discipline and train ourselves to be thankful in prayer. And the reason is because it will not come naturally. A grateful heart and gratitude is not going to just happen. So let me offer a suggestion to you. I hope this will motivate you to cultivate a more thankful heart. Now think about this. When you ask God to heal someone, to encourage a friend, or maybe to give you wisdom or strength, I want you to add, "Please and thank you." When you say, "Father, please heal my mom. Lord, please draw my mom close to you. Please encourage, please heal this relationship. Please heal what's broken. Please help me to fix what I have done here. Lord, give me wisdom. I've got some tough decisions to make. Please." Add "please." And before you close your prayer, say, "Lord, I know that when I pray according to your will and in a way that pleases you, the answer is yes. So I just want to say thank you. I know I have received what I asked for because you are good and your faithful love endures forever." Amen. So add "please" and "thank you," okay? Let's pray. Lord, would you please press this truth into our hearts that we need to cultivate a grateful, thankful heart that is not going to come naturally. And Lord, where we have neglected you, where we've neglected to say thank you, where we've neglected you in any way, the blessings you have given us, the opportunities we have, our friend, everything we have, you've given us. And so often we neglect you. So I want to ask for myself, I say, "I'm sorry, Lord." And I pray we would all say the same, "Sorry, where I have neglected you and let you down." And I pray, Lord, that we would all walk out of here impressed with this idea that we want to say "please" and to say "thank you." Because when we pray according to your will, Lord, in a way that pleases you, we know we have the answer that we ask for. So, Lord, help us to cultivate this heart, to cultivate this desire, that we might be faithful to you, know you more, and enjoy this relationship. Thank you for allowing us to worship you this morning. I pray that we bring you glory and honor with the balance of our time and the balance of our morning. In Jesus' name, amen.